It tells you how a sponsor is looking at a deal, what they're assuming about a deal, how they think about a deal, how they think about their numbers, how they think about their business plan when they take over a deal. Underwriting is such an important leading indicator of how good of a deal is.
The Apartment Gurus podcast is brought to you by Greenlight Equity Group, an apartment acquisitions and holdings firm co-founded by Carl York and Tate Seymour, host of this show. We offer you the opportunity to be an owner of cash-flowing, wealth-growing apartments without the headaches of being a landlord. These assets are recession-resistant, risk-mitigated, offer significant tax advantages, and are a great alternative to the stock market. Ready to check it out? Go to www.investwithgreenlight.com today to book a personal consultation with Carl or Tate. Again, that's investwithgreenlight.com. We look forward to meeting you. Welcome to The Apartment Gurus, where twice a week, host Tate Seymour brings you deep dive interviews with the wisest gurus in the apartment investing industry. These experts are sure to create game-changing value and inspiration designed to catapult your business to the next level. Be sure to reach out to Tate at www.investwithgreenlight.com for access to his investor portal and Calendly link. And now, here is Tate Seymour and the Apartment Gurus.
Welcome, everybody, back. Another episode of the Apartment Gurus podcast. We have a guru today for sure. That's the spin of this show. As you guys know, that the guest is the guru, and we're privileged to have guests of so many different kinds on the show, from novice investors all the way up to people that own 2,500 units and sometimes even more. But today we've got one of those type guys on, and I'm really excited to have Mr. John Azar on the show. John is, he's a multifamily investor extraordinaire. He's the founder and managing partner of Peak 15 Capital. They're a capital advisory and syndication firm servicing commercial real estate operators and sponsors in securing their equity capital stack, as well as co-GP on their deals through the Peak 15 co-GP funds. So you guys have a fund and you do something really, really valuable, which is help people like myself get the equity in place that we need for different deals. So, and he's also, John's also a managing member of MAC Venture Partners, MACC Venture Partners, which is an owner operator, family asset owner operator focused on the Southeast. So John, he's also a coach for new syndicators and sponsors, as am I, by the way. He's done a lot of deals, guys. He worked on a cumulative portfolio of $1.8 billion with his previous firm, and they had assets from Boston to Miami and London. So lots of just valuable experience here. John, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thanks so much for that amazing intro. Thank you so much. I'm humbled. Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
It's a pleasure. It truly is. So, you know, before we kind of dig in, I'd love to hear a little bit more about your backstory and your professional journey, and especially in real estate, and kind of how you got to where you are today.
It's a journey that goes in various different directions, as a lot of us are in this industry, or maybe a lot of different industries. I started out in investments and finance as an equity trader, actually, with a firm like Morgan Stanley, and kind of went from there, moved around a couple of different shops on the investment desk at these firms, and then established my first structured finance commercial real estate firm when I was in Boston with a couple of other partners of mine. And we did structured finance for large scale mixed use developments across the Eastern Seaboard. So we were essentially, people would hire us almost like investment bankers for large scale mixed use development deals. We would essentially be involved in anything from the feasibility study to deal oversights to obviously structuring the way that the equity would come in or debt, and then obviously get the deal spun off and get paid for it. So we did that from about 2004 to about 2009. As you can surmise, in 2008, 2009, there was a little slight market hiccup back then, just a little hiccup, and that we got our butts handed to us then, and we had to essentially close shop and unfortunately kind of called that venture to a stop. We had to kind of disband and go back and get kind of day jobs after that, because we just had to kind of reinvent ourselves after the crash. And we did that, went back to different jobs. I was in commercial banking for a while. I did venture capital. I did private equity. And then it came back together with my brother, Tony, and we were relaunching one of his previous companies that he started buying multifamilies in the Southeast, and did that in from about 2013 until about 2020. That was the Mac Venture Partners. We bought and syndicated assets in the Southeast from anywhere from the Carolinas all the way out to Tennessee, Georgia. We probably transacted during that time cumulative assets of about anywhere between 5,000 to 6,000 units or so. That's not the continuous portfolio we had, but that was about what we transacted buy-in between the buys and the sells. And then in 2020, we kind of started sunsetting a good portion of that portfolio just from the market timing and from different ventures that we were in. He wanted to expand a couple of different sides of the company. I wanted to expand a co-GP and syndication side. So in 2020, I launched Peak 15 Capital to essentially continue to do some syndication, but only from a co-GP perspective. I wanted to still get into deals, but I wanted to get into deals with other sponsors and operators as opposed to just me being solo or us being solo on the ground. Wanted somebody else to be essentially running the deal while we come in and either bring capital, our name, background, whatever is needed to kind of get the deal done. Yeah. But partnering with other folks in the industry as well. And then the other part of our business for Peak 15 is essentially we want it to be a capital placer for other sponsors and operators. So a big portion of our business is to place private equity, family office, institutional money into other sponsors and operators deals. And that's just a fee-based equation. If we're not in the deal ourselves as a co-GP, we would just place the equity and just take a fee for it. So that's the other portion of our business. So our business is both co-GPing on deals as well as placing equity in other people's deals.
Perfect. Great rundown. And your professional background experience level is amazing. Very impressive. So let me ask you this, Greenlight Equity Group perspective, which is my acquisition and holding company. What level of equity investment do you guys like to do? What range do you like to work within when it comes to funding other people's deals?
In terms of us co-GPing or in terms of us funding other people, just bringing equity to the table, it doesn't really matter the size of the deal. I mean, it does from the minimum standpoint, because a lot of our institutional sources and family office and private equity sources don't really like to write a check anything lower than, let's call it, $3 million. Okay. So I'd say $3 million equity is probably the lowest we can go on placing equity in other people's deals. But from a co-GP perspective, I probably did not mention, we're actually just launched a co-GP fund that this is the first week. Actually, we just launched it this week. So it's brand new. We'll be ready to start deploying out of it probably in Q1 of next year. So between now and Q1, we're probably going to be in fundraising mode. And then hopefully in Q1, we'll start deploying into deals as well. So from a co-GP perspective, it could be lower than $3 million as far as the equity is concerned. We can get into really smaller deals. I mean, deals that we can get into on co-GP end, it could be as small as, I mean, they could be small. It could be a deal that requires only $1.5 million of equity or $1 million of equity. And we can write a check from our co-GP fund to come in with that. If it's a really small deal like that, we can probably write a check for the whole thing out of our fund. If it's a deal that is probably larger than, let's say, $4 or $5 million in equity needs, which is probably going to be an $18 to $20 million deal, that would probably be something that we can still write a check from us out of our fund and then go out and bring the balance of the equity from our sources, from institutional sources.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Are you guys market preferred or more focused on the deal level? How does that
work? We're definitely very deal level heavy, but we are, our co-GP standpoint, we are specifically looking in the Southeast and the Sun Belt. So I'd like to call it the smile area of the United States. So anywhere from the Carolinas all the way out to Colorado and Utah and Idaho. And anything in between. So Arizona, Texas, Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee, obviously, and all the way down to Florida.
How's Ohio look for you?
Yeah, we'll look at deals in Ohio. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I've got two deals I'm going to send you, John.
Okay.
And by the way, listeners, if you have opportunities that you think may be of interest to John, or you just want to talk to him and to know him a little bit, you can go to Peak 15 Cap, Peak PEAK15CAP.com. Check out the website there.
Man, you're doing the advertising for me. I don't even need to mention them.
We pump you up here on the Apartment Gurus. Absolutely. That's part of the deal, man.
I like it.
So is that the best way for people to find out more about you and reach you? Or
Yeah. I mean, our website, they can find me on social media. Obviously, I'm on LinkedIn and Instagram, and they can just email me directly. It's my email is azar@peak15cap.com, azar@peak15cap.com.
Yeah, so Azar is A-Z-A-R, just like it sounds.
Yep.
So, okay, awesome. John, this is like, I see what you guys do as actually pretty unique in this space. And you're meeting a need. I wish we had met 2 months ago when we were raising equity for a deal in Columbus, Ohio, which is one of our target markets that we own property in now. And we had a source on board that kind of left us at the altar, and then we didn't have enough time to really bring things back together, and had to bail on the deal, which was painful. It's the first time that's ever happened to us. Personally speaking, like, you are an incredibly valuable resource here because you provide a piece that's so key to getting to the finish line when you're under contract, which is the equity piece. And sure. Everybody listening knows this game's all about deals and dollars, right? And so what John is bringing here is the dollars, you know, the equity that's needed for the down payment for the debt and for your sources and uses on your expenses on getting the deal done, your closing costs, that sort of thing. I guess what's important to you guys, like, you're out, and by the way, listeners, this fund model is something everybody should know about for sure, and something that everybody that's raising capital should consider, in my opinion, because it's something that is an interesting proposition for investors. An investor has the ability to invest in a fund that's not specific to one deal, but is specific to a sponsorship group, maybe a market or a market criteria, like John was just talking about. So what other like key point of your funds exist? I guess we mentioned market geography, that sort of thing. What other things are important to you? I'm sure there's important aspects of the sponsor that you're investing in, that sort of thing.
Look, the sponsor is huge. Yeah. The sponsor is by no means something that is going to be underestimated. The sponsor is number one.
Yep.
Beyond even the deal, because sure. The deal will never work with the wrong. You can have the right deal with the wrong sponsor and the deal will never work.
Right.
You can have the wrong deal with the right sponsor and it might work, but it doesn't work the other way around. Even if you could have the most shiniest deal, if the sponsor is not the right sponsor, or they just don't have the right either underwriting or the right team or the right experience or whatever, the sponsor is very, very important part of the deal.
Yeah.
It's what makes or breaks a deal, to be honest with you.
So what do you look for in a sponsor?
Well, I mean, we obviously look for sponsors who are, if we're going to partner up with sponsors or we're going to use our fund to co-GP with a sponsor, we have to have a certain degree of confidence in what they're doing, because we're partnering up with sponsors who are essentially going to run the deal for us. So if you're going to run the deal for us, you better know what you're doing on the ground. Otherwise, we would not be partnering up with you. Our fund is probably not the right fit for sponsors just coming out of the gate that are doing their first deal or second deal. That we'll work with them. I talk to new sponsors all the time. In fact, that's what we've done for a long time. We've talked to new sponsors. I will give them some input. I will help them, you know, kind of conceptualize their capital stack and all that kind of stuff. But it'd be pretty tough for us to work with brand new out of the gate sponsors that are doing their first deal. What I would recommend for brand new out of the gate sponsors that are doing their first deals is go out and do your first syndication. I mean, that is so important for new sponsors to go out and try their hand at doing the syndication, because that's really how they're going to learn about this industry, how they're going to learn about syndication, how they're going to learn about what they're made out of themselves when they go out and do a syndication. Doing a syndication and talking to investors will teach you a lot about yourself and about your deal and about what you're willing to do and not do in this industry.
Yeah. Getting that first big deal done. And by big, That's relative, right? It's relative to where you want.
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't, big is all relative. It doesn't have to, big doesn't have to be meaning, it doesn't have to mean like 150 units. It, big right. could be, 40, your first deal could be 25 or 30 20, units.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But getting it done, guys, is so key. So if you've been in learning mode, that's great. Like gaining that specialized knowledge and the terminology, the languaging, everything else is so key. But you want to start taking the action steps to getting that first deal, getting it done. And remember, it's all about sourcing the deal and funding the deal. Those are the two big things. And then eventually it'll be about managing the deal. That's where the business plan gets implemented post-closing. I guess that's another thing. So what's your underwriting process look like and deal vetting process look like?
Our underwriting is definitely not for the faint of heart. We go through our internally is we go through like almost three levels of underwriting before the deal gets a nod of yes or no on us. Our director of acquisitions will take a look at a deal and run it through. We have an online portal that we run through deals first. And then his first crack at it. And if that comes positive, then he'll run it through our model, our own model first. And if that comes back positive, he'll run it through my partner, managing director. And then if he approves it, then he talks about it with me. And then we either get a yay or nay on the deal. If it moves through these three different underwriting and it gets to me and still has a yes, then we look at it together and figure out the market, the dynamic, if it's a yes or no. So it's very rigorous. We're very conservative underwriter generally for our own deals. Now, obviously, the same doesn't have to apply for sourcing equity, but we do still have to do some measure of due diligence on the deal itself, even if we're just going out to source equity for somebody. We've turned down deals where we've looked at the underwriting or the deal itself, and we're pretty straightforward guys. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what you like to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. If what you need to hear from me is something you don't want to hear, that I always warn people like, you know, hey, listen, I'm going to tell it to you non-sugarcoated all the time. That's what you're going to get from us. If a deal doesn't work, I'm going to tell you why it doesn't work and what you need to watch out for and what you need to pay attention for. You know, if it does work, then I'll tell you the good part about it, the bad part about it, what we can do, what we can't do, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we're pretty transparent. And but at the same time, we want to be very pragmatic and on the same point, on the same page. So I want to make sure that it doesn't do anybody any good if I was to blow smoke up anybody's butt about a deal, because that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to tell you what I think of the deal, good, bad, or ugly.
Love it. And you really owe it to people, I think, in this space, to be honest. And if a deal's not a deal, like that can be communicated in such a way that is like still relationship building, right? Like you still want to establish a connection with this person because you just never know what.
Oh, 100%. I am the first to tell you we're very, very relationship driven, very relationship oriented. I mean, the relationship is number one to us, to me.
Sure.
So just because I tell you your deal doesn't work doesn't mean I personally don't like you, or it's got nothing to do with personal. The deal either has to work or doesn't work. Yep. And sometimes I can tell you like, yeah, the deal is great, but I don't think you're the right person to run this deal. I'll also tell you that. Again, that's not a dig against you. It's just that if a deal comes to us that is somebody's trying to buy, I don't know, maybe 600 units that they've only bought 50 units in the past, I'm going to tell you this is probably going to be pretty challenging for you to get.
Yep.
Because you've never bought 600 units. You're going after 600 units, but you've only bought 50. So where's the confidence of the money coming to you is going to come from if you've never done a deal like that? And I'm going to be pretty pragmatic about it and tell you like, hey, if all's right, if this deal might be the right deal, but maybe you're not the right operator for this particular deal.
Yeah. It's honest, right? Like it's the sponsor in that case deserves to know that and deserves to know your thoughts on it. And look, your feedback isn't necessarily gospel. It's not like written in stone, but it's your feedback. It's what's so. And you're somebody that has enough experience with this stuff to really be able, I think, to be a source of value for people. And if it's truly not a good deal, then they really should be grateful for you helping them get their heads around that.
We've done that before as well. I mean, we've looked at a deal, we underwrote it ourselves, and went back and gave sponsors some bullet points, and sometimes they've backed out of a deal because of our feedback or because of our underwriting or because we gave them some different guidance on the underwriting or some things they may have missed. And every now and then we do come across a deal that maybe we pass on, but it's still a good deal. That happens as well. It's all about the deal. It's all about the deal dynamics. And believe me, anything I say is coming from a place of concern for the sponsor and the deal. It's not about, it's never coming from a place of, I'm never in the habit of disparaging anybody or anyone about their deal or the deal itself. It's about the numbers and whether the numbers work and whether the numbers work for this particular sponsor.
Yeah. Like I said, what you're offering is of such value. And the fact that you guys have multiple options and multiple funds, multiple strategies, products to offer is tremendous. What's the future hold for you guys? Is this a model you're going to continue to grow out?
Yeah, this is a good question. This is the model that we're going to grow out. So, I mean, eventually moving forward, our syndication model is now really going to be driven through our fund model.
Yep.
We will no longer be doing just individual syndications. We will probably moving forward, most likely we'll be relying on our fund model. So this is the fund that we're launching now, or that we just launched, is number one of five. My vision and strategy is five funds in the next 5 years. So,
okay.
So in the next 5 to 6 years, we're going to be launching five different funds, and hopefully, God willing, more after that. Yeah. But for now, all our, essentially our syndication funnel is going to go through our funds. We will no longer be individually, essentially be the lone ranger on syndicating a deal by ourselves. We're going to be always syndicating a deal with a sponsor partner that we can come in and co-GP with. And that's going to be the model moving forward for us. So, I mean, we kind of switched from a individual syndication model, individual syndicator model, which is what we were before, to a more of a true, I guess, private equity model. We're really kind of co-GPing with other sponsors and syndicators, bringing the capital, I mean, more than just capital to the table. I mean, it depends on the deal. Sometimes I'm happy to sign on the deal myself with them. They're not just going to get capital. They'll get capital. They'll get a co-guarantor. They'll get co-sponsor. They'll my experience, my SREO schedule to the table. So, I mean, you know, they get more than just a funder per se, but if all they want is a funder, that's fine too. We'll just got a check that is required.
Yeah. There you go. Listeners, a lot of you are out there looking at, how do I put together my team and who's going to sponsor a deal that I come up with? Well, here you go. Brought to you by the Apartment Gurus, John Azar. He looks at potential sponsorship. So, John, what should somebody reaching out to you with a potential opportunity have ready for you to go?
Obviously, that we want to always see their underwriting. That's the number one thing we ask about when a deal gets sent to us. When a deal gets sent to us, first thing I ask is, send me your underwriting, your Excel underwriting.
Yep.
That's usually the first stage of what we look at. I mean, if their underwriting is not good at all, that's going to tell me one thing. If their underwriting is amazing, that's going to tell me another thing. It's the way that underwriting is such an important tool in our business. It's almost like the lifeblood of a deal. It tells you how a sponsor is looking at a deal, what they're assuming about a deal, how they think about a deal, how they think about their numbers, how they think about their business plan when they take over a deal. Underwriting is such an important leading indicator of how good of a deal is. Or bad, you know. Right. So the underwriting is number one that I would ask for. Obviously, that we're going to do our due diligence on their sponsors themselves, background, what done before, how many deals have they done, how familiar are they with the market, what have they done in this market in the past, what their capability is as far as, like, you know, in terms of signing, guaranteeing a deal. Are they able to guarantee this deal? If not, then who's guaranteeing this deal for them? Do they have a guarantor? Do they have a net worth guarantor that's signing on the loan for them? And then obviously the deal itself. We'll dive into the deal, but the deal itself is just as important initially as the sponsor and what their experience is and where they come from and what their thought process is on the deal.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Well, just to kind of start to bring this full circle, John, for investors that are sourcing deals, any kind of final words of wisdom, you know, the things that key things that you see in sponsorship teams that make them great, things that maybe you see it people make they should avoid?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think there's a word in the keyword in there, team, that you put together. I mean, a team is never, it's not a lone ranger. This business is not about being the lone ranger and trying to do everything in yourself. One person, one singular person is trying to do everything themselves. That's just not good. You need to put together either a team, at least a partner, at least someone who will do some of the heavy lifting or some of the, where you can kind of balance out responsibilities. It doesn't have to be a huge team, but it has to be something, somebody just more than just yourself, just because it's important to kind of balance things out, balance responsibilities, maybe balance out underwriting or the way that you look at a deal. We're just us, between us and us. We don't really have a good check-in mechanism. Like if I'm the only one who's deciding and underwriting a deal and looking at the deal and doing the whole kit and caboodle myself, I have no one to tell me that something is off. Someone to tell me, like, give me a second opinion on something and says, you know what, John, this may not be the smartest idea, or this may not be the right deal, or this may not be the right market. If I'm the only one, I have no other check-in mechanism on a deal. That's why it's really hugely important to have at least one other person on your team to be help on your endeavor. A team is important. The way you look at it at a deal is very important. If you don't know how to underwrite a deal, I urge you, go out and learn how to underwrite. I don't know, sign up with a coach, sign up with an underwriting class, take underwriting coaching courses. Somehow or another, you got to know how to underwrite a deal, and you got to know how to look at an underwriting and understand it from a deal perspective, because that is the lifeblood of a deal. If you don't know how to underwrite a deal, you have no business in this business.
Perfect. Well said. Again, listeners, these are the kind of guests we aim to bring every week. And John Azar has been the guest. He's dropped some serious wisdom bombs and nuggets, as my friend Sterling White likes to say. And so, John, I really appreciate you being on the show. Again, listeners, check out peak15cap.com, peak15cap.com. And also, I would recommend checking John out on LinkedIn. He's got a presence there as well. So John, I really appreciate you being on the show. It's an honor to have you.
Thanks, Dave, I appreciate you having me, man. It's been enjoyable. I always love talking about this business.
Yeah, it's so fun, isn't it? We can just geek out for an hour and not get interrupted. It's so fun.
Dude, I talk about this business all day long, and it's never boring to me.
Yeah, I know. That's when you know you're doing something you love. And listeners, that's huge. Like, you want to love what you do here. And knowing your superpower, knowing what you're good at, is, and then teaming up with other people that are good at the other things that maybe you're not so good at or don't like to do, that's a great way of ensuring that you love what you do. Typically, look, if you're not sure what that is, look at what it is that you're good at, because typically what you're really good at is what you're going to enjoy doing the most. So with that, listeners, thank you for listening to the end of another episode of the Apartment Gurus podcast. We love a little rating and review if you haven't left one yet on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen. And we're coming at you twice a week right now. So until the next episode, go out, do great things in this space. Like John was talking about, take some steps to getting that first deal done. That's it right there. Contact John if you're looking for equity, want to invest passively in a fund. That's an awesome option for you to diversify. So yeah, with that, take care, everybody. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks, Tate. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, John.
This episode of The Apartment Gurus is being brought to you by Greenlight Equity Group. Greenlight Equity Group acquires and operates cash-flowing multifamily assets in progressive metropolitan markets such as Salt Lake City, Idaho, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Columbus, Ohio. Greenlight targets consistent solid returns for its investors and a healthy environment for residents by operating high quality, safe, clean, affordable apartment communities. To learn more about Greenlight and to sign up for the investor list, go to www.glequitygroup.com.
This has been The Apartment Gurus with Tate Seymour. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. To contact Tate, go to www.investwithgreenlight.com for access to his investor portal and Calendly link. He loves to hear from you and thanks you for being a valued listener. Just a reminder that you are the guru. See you on the next episode of The Apartment Gurus.